Church. So good to be with you again this week to study God's Word together. I know I'm getting tired of doing this, but we will be together again soon, as soon as we get some things squared away as far as the church goes, making sure that there's precautions in place and making sure everything's safe. So some more information will be coming out about that. So stay tuned to our Facebook page, and we'll let you know as soon as we're able to open back up. But this morning, hope you will grab your Bible and that you will join us as we study God's Word together this morning, as we look into what God has for us, as we are waiting right now. And so that is where we're going to be today. Grab a cup of coffee, get your people around you, around your televisions, around your phone, wherever it is that you're watching. I pray that God is blessing you and that His abundance is almost more than you can handle at times. Let's get into it. It's good to be with you again this week, church. I miss you, and as you can see, I'm no longer, it's not, your cameras do not adjust your screens. It is not Ashton Kutcher. It is Titus Smith. I've just had a haircut, thankfully, for Cap's Barbershop that opened up today, that I could get a haircut before the wedding that I'm doing for the Mowers this weekend. But that's not what I'm here to talk to you about today. That is not the message for today. I'm here to talk to you and just share a little bit from God's Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. James, my favorite book in the Bible, it, by far. There's so many favorites I have, but James, if I could have one book, it would be James. Just the story behind it, the being the brother of Jesus. Could you imagine being the brother of Jesus? At first, James did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and then he came to believe after Jesus rose from the dead. And James became a leader in the church, in the early church, and he was an influencer, a preacher, who would preach to congregations, and he was known specifically for this prayer life. I think they called him Camel Knees, because he would always be on his knees praying, and there were so many calluses on his knees from where he was constantly in prayer, on his knees just crying out to God for those that were being persecuted in the church, in the early church. And he wrote this book that he wrote from in James was written specifically to Christians, followers of Christ, who had been going through persecution, and the church was becoming frustrated with a lot of things. And so James is writing this to believers, to followers of Christ, who were going through some of those persecutions. And so we're in James chapter 1 today, verses 12 through 18. It says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you're being tempted, don't say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whenever, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never chases, He never changes. Thank God He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chooses to give birth to us by giving us His true word, and we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. I want you to focus on the scripture, the first part of the scripture today. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. So, as you saw, our sermon title for today is Worth the Wait. And I've had so many people ask me, when are we going to get back to church? Even today, as I was talking with Brandon at Caps, he was asking me when we're going to get back to church. And today, during the wedding rehearsal, they were asking me, you know, when is church going to open back up? I understand. I'm waiting. I'm just as anxious as you are to get back to church. But the sermon title today, Worth the Wait. As a kid, I think waiting is the most horrible thing that a kid would have to go through. especially for kids. Have you ever been and heard the phrase "worth the wait"? When Mike and Beth Christensen were going to take our family. Mike talked about this place called Sid's, I believe it is, and they had this incredible steak, and Mike had talked about it forever. We kept trying to get together to go, and Mike's like, something wouldn't work out for him, and then it wouldn't work out for me, and, you know, he kept talking about how good this place was, and finally, we got our dates figured out. We got to the date set that we were going to go, and we get there in the parking lot, we pulled up, and I said, man, this is finally, it was taking forever for this to work out, and Mike says to me, I mean, he had been talking this steak up like crazy. And I'm sorry, Mike, but you did not do that justice. It was the best steak I think I've ever had in my life. And I remember Mike's words when we were getting ready to walk into the restaurant. Mike said, "It is worth the wait." And believe me, it really was worth the wait. It was awesome. You know, waiting is painful if you're an adult. It's waiting is painful if you're a kid. I remember in vacations, going to vacations with my parents, my mom would try to calm me down by talking about instead of how many hours it would be till we got somewhere, my mom would say it's this many Family Matters television shows, or it's this many Cosby shows to get to wherever it was we were going, because she was trying to get me to just shut up in the back seat and quit asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Because that's what we do as kids. We wait. As adults, we also have a hard time. It's hard for us to learn to wait. Waiting rooms in the ER, waiting rooms at doctor's appointments, operating waiting rooms, been in multiple places with people that have, you know, sat with families and waited. It's so hard to sit and wait because the time just ticks by so slow. A couple months back, and I believe it was the beginning of the year, I had a sinus infection, and I went to the doctor, and I was in a waiting room, and it felt like there was so many people there, and I was in line, and people would go in and come out, go in and come out, and I'm, you know the order of things, how it is when you're in the waiting room, and you know when your turn to come next. So I had gotten in there, gotten my spot, and knew I was probably coming up next, and all of a sudden, this man comes in the room. And he says something to the nurse at the desk and then just walks back into the doctor's office. And I'm like, I wasn't feeling good. So I was, kind of frustrated. And I'm like, why is this guy cutting in front of me like this? But it all turned out what it was is he had gone out to his car to get something and come back. And I had thought that he was jumping line. But, of course, because I'm spiritual, I didn't say anything, just kind of let it. Hey man, it's cool. But really, he was there before me. So even pastors have a hard time waiting. Some of us have a little harder time than others. And my wife would probably say amen to that if we were in the room together. So in one of my commentaries for this week, one of the writers says this about waiting according to Scripture. It says to wait is to remain in a readiness or expectation. In Scripture, the word wait normally suggests the anxious yet confident expectation by God's people that the Lord will intervene on their behalf. Such waiting may be for answers to prayer from Psalm 25:5, for the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:4 when Jesus asked his disciples to wait in Jerusalem, for salvation in Genesis 49:18, or especially for the coming of Messiah being the salvation to his people and to establish his kingdom on earth. Waiting, and this was the definition that this commentary writer gave. He says, waiting, therefore, is the working out of hope. So waiting is the working out. It is our hope. It is the working out of our hope is what waiting really is. We all have to deal with waiting in our lives. I've got to be honest. I'm not the most patient person. At this point, I would look over my wife if we were in Sunday, and I would look over my wife, and she would say amen, or she would give me one of those looks, We were having Bible study this week, our weekly Zoom Bible study on Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock, if anybody wants to join us for Bible study. So we started talking about Paul and Paul's story. Who had once been in opposition to the gospel and was actually hurting God's people. Paul was talking about in our devotion this week, was talking about from his writings talking about a couple of believers who had left the faith and had become, they actually opposed the message of the gospel. At one time they were followers of Christ, and then they turned away from the faith and just ran away from God. But Paul was talking about how that it was sad to see somebody who had once fallen in love with Christ and had a relationship with him to be walking away. And so in our Bible study, we talked about, how hard it would be. Can you imagine, we who are followers of Jesus, when we go through things and we struggle through things, it's difficult for us as followers of Christ. When we go through difficult times, we go through troubles, and we go through things, it's hard for us sometimes to go through those things. But could you imagine not being a follower of Christ and going through those things? In our discussion that night in our Bible study, we had talked about, how that at least when we as Christians go through things, we as followers of Christ go through things, we at least have hope and an expectation that God is doing what Romans 8:28 says. He's working things out for our good and for His glory. And so we were going through that, and we were talking about how that people that don't have hope, when they go through trials and they go through temptations, they go through struggles, how hopeless it must feel for them to not have that relationship with Christ to fall back on, to say it's not just a crutch, but it's something that we use to say, my hope isn't in what I'm seeing right now on earth. My hope is in Christ. My hope is that God is working things out for our good. And I love this. And it was one of the people in our group that night, Heather Bissett, and she gave me permission to use this. Heather completely wrecked my week, right? I'm just going to be honest. She wrecked my week. I had a direction that I was going to go, and where I was going to go for scripture for this week. I was going to go from John 14, talking about the Holy Spirit. And something Heather Bissett said just wrecked my week. So I want to thank you, Heather, because that's what led me into the direction. I think God used you, Heather, to kind of take me in a different direction this week. And this is what Heather said that completely destroyed everything that I was thinking about for this week. Heather said, she was talking about Jacob, her beautiful husband, Jacob, and Jacob had gotten a new job, and an amazing job, a great job. And she was praying and thanking God and, giving thanks to God for the job that Jacob had gotten. And this is what she said. She said, in her prayer, she said, "Thank you, God, for making us wait." And she said, "When I said it, I stopped because I was shocked that I said it and that I actually meant it when Heather said, 'Thank you, God, for making us wait.'" I have so many scriptures this week, not just from James, but so many scriptures this week. And you're going to see those scriptures in the description below and in our Facebook post. You'll see all those scriptures so you can check those out. And I'm going to go through them quickly because there's so many of them and that talk about waiting. So I started doing this, looking through scripture about times where God's writers had said things about waiting on God and waiting for God and waiting during hard times when God would be there. Micah 7:7, the Micah says, "As for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me." Lamentations 3:25-26 says, "The Lord is good to those who depend on Him, to those who search for Him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord." Psalm 40:1-3 says, I love David's psalm here. He says in Psalm 40, is incredible. "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair and out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a solid ground and steadied me as I walked along." I love that. Verse 3, he says, "He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord because they see what God is doing for David." In Psalm 63, 3 through 8, it says, so many enemies against one man. This is David talking. David's going through some horrible, horrible things, and he's being chased down by King Saul. And he's writing this, and he says, so many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall, a teetering fence. He says, verse 4, they plan to topple me from a high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Then he says, verse 5, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Psalm 37:34, David writes, put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. Don't just sit still and sit and wait. Sometimes I think we think sitting and waiting means that we sit on our hands and we don't do anything until God moves. But that's not what God is asking us to do. David says, he writes this, he says, put your hope in the Lord, Psalm 37:34. Travel steadily along his path. That doesn't mean stop. It means just to follow God. Be faithful and follow him, and he will honor you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 5, and you can read this. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but there was a warrior by the name of Naaman, and Naaman was a mighty warrior, and he was a very powerful man, and he had won many victories for the people, and so this man, he wasn't just perfect. He had a flaw, and his flaw was that he had leprosy. And so he was asked by the prophet to dip in this water in Israel 7 times. Now, he got angry at first because he thought, oh, it's something silly and stupid. Why would I do that 7 times? What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything for me. But it wasn't until he did the 7th time that Naaman came up out of the water and he was completely healed of the leprosy. There's a lot of times where God has asked us to wait, and sometimes it's hard for us to wait. I understand. I get it. Waiting is difficult for us sometimes, but it's in the waiting. I loved what Heather said. She said, I thank God for making me wait, because it wasn't until I had to experience the waiting that I experienced what God was really doing behind the scenes. Romans 8:21-25, Paul writes this. He says, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning in its pains of childbirth right up to the present time, right where we are right now even. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit with us as a foretaste of the future glory. We long for our bodies to be released from this sinful suffering. Oh man, every one of us can say amen to that, especially when we get up in the morning and our backs are hurting, our knees are hurting. We're waiting for God to come back and just bring a peace to this earth. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised. Amen. We're all thanking God for the new body he's going to give us someday. We're given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Man, so many scriptures just talking about waiting on God and waiting for God to do something incredible for us. And it's in the waiting. And I love the saying, it is worth the wait. Sometimes we want to get ahead of God. We see what happens when we try to get ahead of God and do things on our own. We see the story of Abraham, who was promised a son through Sarah, but he didn't want to wait. He wanted to go through with it on his own time and do his own thing. But thank God that it's in the waiting that we can experience. We can know at the correct moment when God's timing is perfect, it will happen when God wants it to. And when it happens, we will know for sure that it was God that was with us and saw us through the entire time. The last scripture that I want to go over for us today, and it's out of Psalm 103. And this is an incredible, man. This is what we should. So I want us to be, we're in the application part. So what do we do? We're in this, the talking about waiting. And, you know, we're experienced waiting right now. Some of you are waiting for a time where you can go see your families in the hospital or nursing home. I talked to Ruthie today, whose husband had a heart attack, and she can't be with him, and she's waiting for an opportunity to go see him. There's people that are waiting to go to weddings and funerals, and there's so much waiting going on right now. What do we do about it? I want you to ask yourself this question. The next time that you are kind of in this spot where it kind of seems like God has you in his waiting room, I love that. God has you in his waiting room. He's not acting. He's not moving that you can see. I want you to ask yourselves this question. Is God's plan really worth the wait? Is God's plan really worth the wait? Now, before you say, yes, it is, absolutely, Pastor, it's worth the wait, I want you to think about it. Because it's in the waiting when God kind of seems quiet and still, and his plan doesn't seem to come as fast as we want it to, and we second guess, we question what God's plans are. And I've been there. I absolutely have been there, where I have questioned what God is doing. What are you doing? Or you're completely silent, God. What are you doing? I want us to read this text from Psalm 103. It says, "Let all that I am," this is David writing, says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he's done for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all of my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all that are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel." I love this part that David says. "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not," verse 10, "he does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are." God knows how weak we are. "He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we're gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him." I thought about that as the psalmist is talking about that, like a good father would be for his children. I think of the times that I've made Addie wait for things, for presents or things. And I thought about back when I was a kid, when I wanted something and my mom would say, "Well, not right now, we'll wait." And I would throw, as a spiritual child, I would throw a tantrum in the middle of the store, like, "No, I want it now. And what I didn't realize is that the thing that I had wanted so bad, my mom had already bought for me. It was under the Christmas tree. It was waiting there. And I was just so impatient. I was like, I want it now. And what I didn't realize is that my mom had already bought it for me. So let's look at it from God's perspective. Those of you that are parents and grandparents, you know what that's like. You know what it's like to have your kids in those moments where they wanted stuff and they're not patient enough, but you've already provided for them. How many times has God done that for us? God has the healing coming. God has the money. The check is in the mail. But we're sitting in the waiting room. And like I said, my question to you is God's plan worth the wait? When God seems silent, is his plan worth the wait? There's a video that I want to show you, taken from a sermon that was preached, that was an incredible sermon. And I want you to see this clip, and it's truly a miracle that you get to witness firsthand. And watch this video, and then we'll finish up.
I'll tell you a story about a guy named Dwayne. Dwayne was a pastor in Texas and called by God and a great Bible teacher and a Bible preacher. And there was one weekend he got sick and he caught a flu, like sometimes we catch a little, just an average flu virus. Well, he got up to preach that morning, and as he did every week, and he preached the first service. They had two services on Sunday morning, and he wasn't feeling that great. His voice was a little bit kind of feeling rough, but he preached. And then he went ahead and preached the second service and was feeling a little bit worse. They had an evening service that night, and he told the leaders, he said, I can't preach tonight. My voice is just gone, and I don't know what's going on. And well, what ended up happening was this flu virus attacked his vocal cords. It was a very unusual thing. The doctors couldn't even quite figure it out. It damaged the nerve tissue of his vocal cords beyond repair. Over the next 3 years, he went to 63 specialists and their teams, over 200 doctors, as they tried to diagnose him and treat him. His voice, he said, it felt like the worst case of laryngitis. He said it felt like somebody choking you, like just pressing up against your vocal cords, like this nonstop pressure against your throat. A year after he was experienced this flu virus, he had to step down from his church. And that's what he felt called to do. I mean, as you know, as a pastor, our voice is kind of important, right? I only do two or three things, and one of which is preach. And I cast vision, and I lead. I preach, lead, and cast vision as the shepherd. And you need a voice. It helps. He didn't have a voice. So after a year, on his own willingness, he said, this church needs to find a new pastor. I don't know what's going on. He was devastated. His family moved down to Houston. His wife got a job because it took him a while to figure out what to do. His whole life he'd been trained for ministry and prepared for ministry, and now he can't do that. Doesn't even have a voice. Can't even talk. He did eventually find a job, but just went through some struggles, depression, discouragement. You can imagine. Pastors are human just like you. Finally, they became a part of this large church in Houston, Texas, a large Baptist church. And there was one Sunday that the Sunday school teacher, the Bible study teacher, wasn't able to go because he was sick. He wasn't able to teach. So they asked Dwayne. Of course, they knew that he was discouraged and maybe thought maybe they could, you know, it would be encouragement to have him teach. And so they asked him to be the substitute teacher. And he's like, I can't teach. I mean, you don't want to listen to this voice. And so they hooked him up with this microphone, this special microphone, where they could, you could just barely hear what he was saying and understand it just a little bit. And that Sunday, as he was teaching in a Southern Baptist church in Houston, Texas, it was the only Bible study class in the entire church that actually would audio tape the lesson, because with it being a large class of over 150 people, there might be one or two that weren't there, so they would tape it and then give it to people who were absent or who weren't there. Have two or three tapes laying on the table each week for people who maybe missed the previous week. So they record it. It just so happened that the lesson that was lined up, this curriculum that was lined up even by the denomination, it came on Psalm 103. He begins to teach. And of course, he's trying to explain the fact that God doesn't heal all the time. Of course, here he is with this voice. And so he's saying, you know, God forgives all our sins, but he doesn't always heal our diseases. And I want you to listen to this audio tape. Pastor Dwayne Miller.
So when the psalmist writes, "And he heals all of my diseases," let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. Now, you have to be careful on how you do this, because there are folks who carry things to an excess, and it becomes a show. And God has never intended that be what it is. God heals in His sovereign will. I don't know why God does things that he does, but I know that he does. And the only thing he requires of me is to allow him to be God and me to be me and let it be. To say that every single person will always be healed because Jesus died on the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Not true. Won't work. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry. That's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture. That's wrong. On the other hand, to say that, since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again, is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in a box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So, the psalmist says, I'm excited, bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And then in verse 4 he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm but overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit. And crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in love. The Lord will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, that's mercy. Or repay us according to our iniquities, that's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
Wow. He said, whenever he said the word pit, he later explained, he said the word pit, all of a sudden that pressure that he'd felt on his throat, all of a sudden was released. And his voice came back. And then he was able to get back into ministry and get back into the pastoring, and even later traveled the country, wrote a book on what God did and shared that with others. You know, there's something powerful whenever we see a miracle.
What an incredible thing. I was thinking about that pastor, if that was me in that situation. You know, I don't think his life was ever the same. I don't think he experienced, I don't think he ever got over the experience that he had. Where in the moment where there's like hopelessness, where it feels like that God is a million miles away, when there's loneliness and just it feels like God's playing games with us. But you see what he did? He was doing something for God, even though he didn't feel confident in what he was doing. But the miracle happened when he was talking about God's redemption and God's miracles, his mercy. And it was from Scripture, from Psalm 103, that he's reading as he says, the pit. Is God's waiting room, is God's plan, is it worth the wait for you? Are you thankful for waiting? I know it's hard sometimes to be thankful, especially when you wait for a long time. I remember we waited for such a long time for Addie to come along. Andrea and I were both told we were not able to have children. And I remember the day Andrea told me that she was pregnant. I didn't believe her. But man, it was worth the wait. It was so worth the wait. Are you willing to wait on God to do what he wants to do in his time? Sometimes it's worth the wait, especially when God's involved. Let me pray for you today. Father, for those that are listening today, God, that are watching today, I'm asking that you would help them as they're in your waiting room, maybe. Maybe they've asked you over and over multiple times for you to do something incredible in their lives. And right now they're sitting in the waiting room, waiting for you to do something, God. I ask that you would help them to understand and help them to see what we've all experienced, is that your plan is so much worth, it is so worth the wait, that when you come through in an incredible way. Lord, for the times that we have doubted you, please forgive us. For the times that we have questioned you and been angry with you, please help us just remember that we're human. Remember that we're dust. Remember what it was for Christ to come on earth. He knows what the waiting means. He understands. But help us to have patience for the day, and help us to enjoy the wait, to look forward to it, to realize that it's not that you're silent, it's that you're waiting for the right time. Lord, I thank you for my people. I thank you for our church. I thank you for those that are watching all around the country right now, some in other countries even. Lord, I ask that you would help them as they're waiting right now to get back to church, to get back to where they feel a connection with their family members. Lord, help them as they wait. Wait patiently for you. And you will provide in the time that you need. Lord, we love you today. It's in Christ's name we pray. And all my church family said, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you. And while you wait, give you peace. I love you, Kelloggsville. I'll see you soon, and hopefully face to face. But if not, I'll see you here next week.